that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score.
Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you from a partly cloudy Radio Ranch, live this morning on this last day of March 2018, and we'll bring the men on. Good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant, and thanks for joining us. We'll have the phone lines, of course, open up here in just a little bit, and But Jason, we'll ask you to open in prayer.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this day, this weekend, Father, upon the remnant across this land. We ask that you lead us, guide us, direct us in all that we do. We ask that you bless our hands in the labors that we do, that you strengthen us, that you encourage us, that you help us to smile at the future, Father. As we approach this Passover day, Father, that has been set apart for generations, as your word says, Father, we just ask, Father, that you just prick your people to recognize the importance of it and how important it really is, Father. We pray that, Father, that the people across this land, your remnant, Father, we pray that they do take communion on this day, Father, that's coming up, and that they take it seriously and that they cling to you and cling to your word, Father, and that they look for that deliverance that you have set up and have predetermined just for your people, Father. We pray that you guide and direct your people, Father, in their walk with you and what they're to do and how they're to go about their everyday life, Father. We pray, Father, that as we are in perilous times and we're feeling the birth pains, Father, we pray and we just cry out to you to save us. Save us from the hands of our enemies. Save us from those who hate us. Save us from those who conspire against us. We pray, Father, that you deliver us from those false brethren, Father. We pray that you guide us and direct us in all that we do and bless your people in Jesus Christ's name. We pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And folks, we do have the phone lines open this morning. Had quite a few more phone calls Wednesday and Thursday night. But 307-745-5913 if you'd like to call in this morning. If you have a comment, lots going on. As Jason prayed, we have Passover tomorrow. Tomorrow being the 14th day of Abib, and so tomorrow evening we're getting together having a fellowship dinner.
No, it's Monday night.
Monday night. That's right. Today's still Saturday. Monday, April 2nd, and we'll be getting together for a fellowship dinner and then a live service at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. That'll be 8 p.m. Central and 9 p.m. on the East Coast. At the website, scripturesforamerica.org, so we encourage you to join us. You go back and read, it was to be an everlasting covenant. We are to always remember what the Lord has done for us and how he delivered our people. And so, it's up to you. It's a choice. Like many things in our walk, it's a choice. If you want to look into it, if you want to believe it, if you want to have those blessings, you have a choice to do that. And we've made the choice, and we're going to be remembering the Passover on Monday, April 2nd. So we've got several people coming to church. If you would like to join us at church physically, we do ask that you let us know. Give us a call. Give us an email or something. Let us know. Many times we have people travel in. But it's always nice to know if we're going to have some visitors. Tons going on out in the world. Saw this, was mentioning it to Jason before the program. They're putting the new 2020 census together, getting it ready. They do that what every 4 years, and I guess there's some uproar because the current administration is wanting to put on the census a question that says, are you a U.S. citizen? Here where they're asking, and to me, that kind of, if you're going to have a census, I would think that if you're going to count all the people that are in the country, that is a distinction. I mean, they do have questions on there. Are you Caucasian? Are you American Indian? Things like that. It seems to me like they would ask if you are a citizen or not, but I guess it's causing some uproar. I didn't know if that was any, just kind of how it is, maybe just the ways of the world, just something else for them to argue about. But that'll sure be upon us.
Somewhat comical when you have people who represent or supposedly represent the states in the federal capital claiming that that question is unconstitutional.
Right.
It's obvious that they don't understand the Constitution. It's obvious that they have an agenda, and it really doesn't matter what the Constitution says. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what anybody says if it doesn't go along with their agenda.
Sure. Saw another headline that there's a you might call it a convoy, a caravan, about 1,500 people out of Central America that are basically walking across Mexico. They've made it into Mexico, and they're headed north. They're headed here. And I thought that kind of tied in because if you're going to number the people, number the people. But I think, you know, that they would ask people, were you born here? Are you a worker on a visa? Are you here? You know, are you a citizen of the country? It doesn't seem like a big deal to me at all. But yeah, you're right. The things that might be logical or just plain and simple are big to-dos, big deals for the enemy.
Well, California is the one that's the most worrying because they could stand to lose one or two seats in the House of Representatives based on not population, but based on citizenship in the state. I mean, especially since now that they've declared that the state of California is a sanctuary state. I had some friends of mine, I think I might have talked about this last week, but that had saved up for a family vacation to go to California to spend time on the beach, stayed at a nice hotel across from the beach, and woke up one morning, got in late the night before, and woke up that morning all dressed up, ready to go to the beach, and went down to the hotel lobby, and the hotel lobby bus takes them over to the beach. They all get off, and they're over there, and they're playing in the water and playing in the sand and building sandcastles, and somebody comes up to him in an SUV and says, "What are you doing out here?" And he said, "What do you mean?" "Well, the beach was closed because Tijuana's river, every time it rains, apparently Tijuana's river overflows, and they just dump all that raw sewage right out into the ocean. And the E. coli and bacteria was so high that they couldn't be in the water, couldn't be on the beach, and they ended up complaining to the management, which did give them back all their money and stuff. But he says, you would not believe California. This was San Diego, too, by the way. This isn't L.A. But he says the number of tent cities and the number of homeless and the trash that was everywhere. And it was, you know, it was a third world country. And, I mean, California was some of the most beautiful country, beautiful land in this country. I remember going there when I was probably 16. Me and my brother took a road trip one time, and boy, I tell you what, it was just beautiful. And the fact that it's been decimated like this just shows you what, I mean, their plan is to make this country a third world country, to tear down all the borders between Canada and Mexico and the U.S. And as far as I remember from several years ago, that's one of the zones in the New World Order. I think there's seven zones, but one of the zones is Canada, Mexico, and the U.S.
Yeah, and the thing is, like what they've done in California, too, they've done a lot of it in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years ago, you know, I spent some time over there, I think maybe even 4 years ago, but it was a completely different place than it is now. And, I mean, I've heard that it's just, it's almost a daily change there. They've changed so much stuff in the last 2 years that it's just, you know, almost unbelievable of what's happened there. But, you know, that's one of the, it's, you know, I mean, it ties into this Agenda 21. It ties into, you know, to the destruction of it. And they're trying to destroy it, turn it into a third world country. And they're doing a real good job of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of white flight there from there for sure. The taxes are insane. But then there's Northern Colorado, you know, I mean, Northern California, excuse me. Those are our people there. And, I mean, there's been talk of dividing the state. There's been talk of separating the state. So, who knows?
Yeah, it's
Lord knows. Yeah.
Yeah, it certainly
it's interesting.
Is.
Interesting. This one of the things is this new Russia's testing their new Sarmat ICBM. And basically that's happening over raising tension with the United States. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is this missile that, you know, it was they're doing away with their Soviet-aged missiles. And they came out with these new Sarmats. But these Soviet-named missiles, it was interesting because they were known as Satan West. That was their nickname, and that's what their name stood for. Satan in the West, and then they're coming out with these new Sarmats that are supposed to just be just incredible, and they've been doing a lot of testing with those this week, you know. And it's like, you know, I thought about the scripture of wars and rumors of wars. It just really seems like we're entering that time, you know, more and more. I mean, we've been hearing talks of, you know, we've heard it for how long with North Korea, now Russia, and. You know, it used to be talking about war, but now they're talking about nuclear war and you know, bombs actually hitting the United States, and it's just you know, it just seems like it just everything's just, you know, heating up in a completely different way that it has been in the past. And it's you know, just interesting, I guess the best thing is, you know, when we see these things coming, we're not to fear it. We know that, and I think that that's one of the things that we've got to remember on a non-stop basis, is not to fear it, not to fear what we see, but, you know, just continue to pray and trust in the Lord.
Amen to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, when we trust in just what we see, it does go against the scriptures, you know, not to fret, not to worry, because the things that we see would be enough to make you fret and worry, you know, to worry about your family, your offspring, and you know, as it's getting worse and worse, but but we know that He has good plans for us, and that He works all these things for good, and that for those of us that have returned to Him, His word is clear, that.
Yeah, I just opened up my Bible, and it's still there in Matthew 24, 4 through 8. And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of the birth pangs."
Amen.
Well, we've been witnessing the birth pangs for many years. Rick Tyson says Russia is boldly proclaiming that they have supersonic missiles now, with nuclear capability. And even some of our high-ranking generals have said that our deterrent systems won't be able to stop them, but our God can.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, we see, you know, those wars and rumors of wars, and then, you know, this week there was a high school counselor came out and said, "I can't wait to execute white men after Black Panthers give the okay." According to the news report, it says a Connecticut high school employee is accused of threatening to execute white men and stomping on the American flag in a classroom. A police report says Harding High School in school suspension counselor Carl Lemon was arrested Wednesday and charged with threatening and breach of peace. The document says a teacher reported that Lemon said he couldn't wait for the Panthers to give the okay and a revolution begins, because he would execute every white man he gets his hands on. 63-year-old Lemon is Black. The police report says Lemon also stepped on the flag and told students, "This is what I think about it." You know, I mean, it's, you know, there is another perfect example why you don't want your children in a public school.
Amen to that.
And it's, you know, and it talks about, and I think it does a real good job of showing what they think about white people. I mean, we talked about, you know, them putting U.S. citizens. They hate the United States. You know, they hate white people. Then they need to leave. I mean, it's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah. Well, what you can see there too is you won't see that story on the mainstream news either. It's only on the conservative news networks that are going to put that story out, because it. Obviously, it doesn't go along with their agenda.
That's right. You won't see them going and sending 60 Minutes and 48 Hours and those type news places to the Black Panthers to investigate and find out, what is it? Oh, so you really put this out, Black Panthers? Because this person quoted you over here. And so, do you really feel that way? Let's tell the American people about that and calling Congress and the White House. And no, you won't hear any of that. But twist it around, turn it around 180 degrees. And if it was a white 63-year-old counselor saying that he couldn't wait to kill the Black people, you know, as soon as the white nationalist or socialist said do it, you know, that would be all over the news. Everybody would be leading with that. The people, the majority of the people don't see the discrimination that is, the reverse discrimination. But thank God some are. Two different emails on that very thing.
Andy announces always what their plans are, right? And what was the movie that just recently came out that smashed the box offices? Or box office, it was Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to go see the movie. I don't know what it's about, but the fact that it's called Black Panther. And,
oh, I didn't
and
even know there was a movie out called that.
Yeah. And then
is it out now? That,
oh, yeah. Huh. Yeah, and it's it. Last I heard, I think it beat Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah, so that just shows you.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, from what you can see on the, whatever you call it, the trailer, it shows like a superhero similar to Batman or whatever. But it's Black Panther, you know, a black man who drives some kind of a similar vehicle and as the latter Batman movies and, you know, goes around and apparently is the hero or something. I don't know. I didn't see it, so don't plan on it either.
I don't blame you. I don't.
Well, I thought it was interesting here in the last several weeks. Jason probably has can fill us in even better on it, but the fact that they've exposed that social media is basically what we've said all along, just government gathering information. And I bet you, truth be known, if you actually could look back at the $1 trillion of stimulus funds that the Obama nation passed back in the day, that the majority of those funds were used for one purpose against the American people, whether it was surveillance, whether it was militarizing local police, whatever it was. But the fact that Facebook's been exposed and Google's been exposed, and that Mark Zuckerberg, who founded Facebook, he last I heard, I think he's lost two-thirds of his net worth, and he was in the $15 billion range from when he sold Facebook, and he had lost $10 billion of his net worth based on outrage of people figuring out that they sell their information. But I mean, really all you got to do is, if you're using Google, I suppose there's other search sites out there and probably need to do that. I think everybody uses Google just because it's so easy. But when you search something, you can just see that those ads pop up. You know what I mean? That they, the things that you're searching, they continue to put before your eyes. And there must be statistics that show that when you continue to put those things before people's eyes, that they purchase them.
Sure.
But this was interesting. I heard from...
Go ahead.
Another man that's a member of the body, he said his daughter was on Facebook, and they were talking about this new kind of piece of equipment for the business, and sure enough, I mean, they were just talking about this new piece of equipment, and it's not something that's readily available or readily known, and all of a sudden, next time he got online, he started getting ads for that piece of equipment. Now, that's probably not coincidence. So, you know, in today's day and age with these smartphones, supposedly smartphones, I don't doubt that they can possibly even hear your conversations, record that, and even use that against you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I have a double witness on that, too. I had a friend of mine that I was talking with, and... he was telling me that he was talking about something, and then a little bit later he got on the computer, and sure enough, there it was. It was popping up ads, and he said he had never searched for it on the computer. He was just talking about getting one, and he said it was there, and it was the site and everything, and it was in the ads. And,
yeah.
You know, the thing is, you know, people, a lot of times people don't read those privacy statements, but when you download a lot of these apps, one of the things that it asks you for, it says ask you for permission to access your microphone. Okay, well, why when I'm doing a browser would they need access to my voice and to my contacts? And I mean, you look at start reading the fine print on some of those agreements that people click on and just never even read and click okay. I mean, it's full of information, you know, and they call it their privacy policy. Well, basically, there's no privacy about it. This is what they're doing is they're letting you know that you have no privacy because we've taken it all, and you're giving us permission to do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, the,
well, you know, remember there was a flashlight app a while back. Remember that? There was a flashlight app, so everybody wants that flashlight app on their phone to be able to use their phone as a LED flashlight, and that app was similar to that. Remember that, Jason?
Yeah, that app is what that app was, and that was actually designed and built by a Russian company, and when you installed that, it gave you, one of the things that you gave it permission to is to take all your information from your phones, including your email, your contacts, your phone numbers, all your private information, your photos, and to send it to this company that provided you with a free flashlight app.
Like you say, you know, when you got 50 pages of fine print, nobody reads it when all they want is a flashlight app.
Right.
Yep.
Have to admit I'm guilty of that at times, too.
But our enemy understands those, that fine print, like the enemy understands the Bible. And they understand the Word of God and what God says that He will do and He won't do. You know, when you were mentioning that, John, the thought occurred to me. You know, we had this they called it the Austin bombings, the five bombs that apparently this guy set back down in Austin a couple weeks ago, and you know, it was a huge manhunt trying to find him. And again, according to the news reports, they finally tracked him down and got him, so to speak. But the news reports did talk about how they used the video surveillance in the area, the
cell phone GPS,
and the cell phone tracking for that very thing, and that's just a step away from the, you know, from the social media. It's the same, I think, the same concept of the monitoring and the tracking. You know, how many times has it been brought up that, you know, Facebook and Snapchat and all these things that they are, you see them, people get arrested and you see that, you know, well, on their Facebook account, you know, they had such and such. And so that's, those social media outlets, they are one of the first, surveillance things, modes that, you know, that law enforcement looks for. Used to be I remember back in the 80s, it was a big deal to subpoena. You had to go to a court and to subpoena phone records. To subpoena phone records, you know, where, and now it's just readily available.
Yeah, but you know, that's a double-edged sword too, because before the Parkland shooting, there was that Cruz guy who committed the crime. He had put on Facebook, you know, and someone had screenshotted that and sent it to the FBI. So if it's not along with their agenda, it's been proven time and time again. Some of these school shooters and things like that, they find on their Facebook all kinds of incriminating evidence, but it never comes out to us. That's when all of a sudden Apple has it locked down where they can't get in it, you know?
Right.
The same with people have forgotten about Las Vegas shooting, and shame on us for forgetting about that. But the fact that over 50 people were killed, and how many, I can't remember how many were wounded, and here we are, you know? It's sad that all of these things that take place, we just forget about.
Yeah, I agree. It happens so fast, and I mean, there's so many things. I mean, you know, just going back, I mean, you know, it's like the murders that we've had in this country that, you know, that have been forgotten, and people are so quick to forget, and it's just like, you know, it's like watching another movie form. I mean, they're so out of touch with reality, it's not even funny.
Yeah, we've been conditioned to the fact that loss of life is not a big deal anymore, and you can say whatever you want, but there are a lot of those video games that, you know, create a false narrative of the value of human life. And some of those, they do affect some of these younger generations. There's no doubt in my mind.
Sure they do.
Yeah, I believe that it has. Video games actually have a lot to do with it, as do a lot of the movies and the television programming that they've got on TV anymore. It's we've reached that Tower of Babel time where, you know, loss of life there's no relevance for it. There's no love for it. There's no care. There's no compassion. It's just, you know, it is what it is. I mean, and I think that's why they put it in there. I mean, you get on a video game and you kill 1,000 people and it's like, oh, you know, a big deal. And the people tend to do that when they do that day in and day out. That becomes a false sense of reality. Same thing with these reality TV shows, which, you know, they try to portray a reality TV show as this is real life. And, you know, when it comes down to it, they're all just paid actors also. You can read it at the end of the television show.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Had a news story you probably won't see a lot of, came out of Chicago last week. A 9-year-old boy is yelling at his 14-year-old sister to give him the video game controller. And she doesn't give it to him fast enough. So he walks in the bedroom where his mother's live-in boyfriend had a .25 caliber handgun. And he walks back out, the 9-year-old boy, and shoots his sister in the back of the head for not giving him the video game controller. And that's a gun's fault, you know, is what they say. But even in the article that I saw, they were pushing and promoting that, the kids play these video games and, you know, they get shot and then just respawn or re-come to life, or, you know, they get shot and killed, game over, and then they just reboot and play again.
Regenerate.
Yeah, yeah. What many terms that they use for it. And it is. It is, I think it shows that you're absolutely right. The reality that these people are living in, whether it's this 9-year-old or 19-year-old or 62-year-old, this black, you know, counselor in Connecticut or wherever, it is not a reality. The reality they live in is not true. You know, they don't see things the way things really are. You know, this black high school counselor, I looked at that. You know, here he is making good money, and if he were still in South Africa, you ought to see some of the videos coming out of there. He would not be making, more than likely, the good money. He would not have the good lifestyle that he has. Why is it that he has that? Well, people that have come before him that have laid the groundwork. And more than likely it's white people, but what does he want to do? He wants to kill them all.
No, it was affirmative action that got him the job.
Right.
That's
right.
The truth.
And
back in the day, I mean, that's exactly what it was.
Well, see, but that's his, you know, the truth of it is that it is this white Western man society that has created, again, with the blessings of God, that has created this society where there are jobs, where there is these non-whites as well as whites can enjoy the highest standard of living, one of the highest standards of living is anywhere in the world. But there's no gratification, there's no thankfulness. It's just that greed. Give me more, give me more, give me more. And it is just becoming more and more evident, you know. No morals. There's no morals in the classroom. There's no morals in the families anymore, in the majority of the people, here in this country. And you see the things, the results of it. What was it called this past week? The March for Life that supposedly the kids did, right? Oh, 15 and 16-year-olds, they're doing great. They were flown around on private jets and chartered jets that were paid for out of Hollywood. You look into it again, it's not the reality that people see, that they think they see, their perception anyway, is that, oh, these 15 and 16-year-olds got together, and, oh, it's like the civil rights marches, and oh, it's so encouraging. And that's not what happened. They were, like you said, Jason, almost paid actors that just popped up on the scene with these planned protests. Anyway, the reality that these people think that they're living in is not really what's there.
What's lost in the whole realm of the situation is the fact that the reason that the Parkland shooting happened was the failure of not only the FBI, but also local law enforcement.
Yes.
And the biggest thing that nobody wants to talk about is the Obama nation's policy, which basically there was too many minorities going from school, mm-hmm. high school, to jail.
Yep.
And they couldn't have that. So they had to enact a plan to keep law enforcement away from these different infractions of the law, some significant, and curb that number. Now, they couldn't get away with just saying it was for minorities, so it was for all, but the reality is that it's the minorities that are creating and causing these issues and committing these crimes, but nobody wants to talk about that. They just want to blame the guns.
Right.
And then the fact that, you know, a prior past Supreme Court justice comes out and says repeal the Second Amendment. Well, you can do whatever you want, because it's coming to a point where man's going to have to decide who's going to follow.
Right.
Are you going to bow your knee to Baal, or are you going to proclaim no king but King Jesus? Are you going to follow man's law or God's law? And I mean, that's really where we're coming. But it's interesting that you brought that up, because one of the articles that caught my eye last night was, and this is must be something that we're supposed to talk about, because even on our Wednesday morning prayer breakfast, we got to talking about what happened in this country. And the reality is, what happened in this country is the family unit was attacked.
Yes.
And the fathers were removed from the households. And this article that I read was very interesting, in my opinion. But it said that the engine that drives civilization has failed in America. Our ruination can be traced back to the decay and disintegration of the family unit, and America becoming a fatherless nation. And then it gives a quote from, looks like a high-ranking military official back probably in the 50s or the 60s, and it says, "The family is the engine that drives civilization. Throughout history, those cultures that have failed to found their roles and attitudes of society on the central importance of the family unit have decayed and disintegrated." And then as you read through here, this was a survey done, sourced the U.S. Bureau of Census current population reports from 1970 to 2000. And it says the rate of marriage declined by one-third between 1970 and 2000. I bet it's more than that. Divorce rate has doubled. Pretty much know it's more than that. Married couples with children declined by one-third. Out of wedlock births have tripled. And then here's the biggest one. They had to tear down the morality, and they did that through the movies and through TV. Pastor told us that many years ago. What they were doing was tearing down the family unit. But cohabitation, couples living together without marriage, has increased 1,000% since from 1970 to 2000. And you can bet from 2000 to 2018, it's increased even more exponentially than that. But what they're saying is, without the presence of a father, these kids look to fill the void with illicit sex and drugs and
yep.
Gangs and,
sure.
and things like that. So that's where the root of the problem lies, in the fact of the deterioration of the family unit. And how
Amen.
Do we get that back? Morality is the only way we're going to get that back.
It is. You can look at the blacks in this country. You know, before the Civil Rights Act of 1965, the prisons weren't 65% black. How about that? Just that fact alone. the prisons in this country were not 65% black before the Civil Rights Act. But when the Civil Rights Act came in, that began a domino effect that removed the father from the black home, and that destroyed the black family unit. And now you have, you know, it is a mess. So we have seen that, right? And it is just shifted. It is like that was just a test. It was just cannon fodder from the enemies of Christ and the enemies of our society. And it just moved right into the white. It worked so well for them to remove the father and destroy the family, to destroy the family unit, that they just, expanded that into all of our society here in this country. And you're right, through movies, through the media. Had a report this past week. Walmart actually decided to pull that filth porno rag Cosmopolitan, at least from their checkout aisles. Because it just promotes sex. And at least they removed it from their checkout aisles and put it back in the magazine section, because there were some family organizations, pro-family organizations, that complained. And so Walmart did that in 5,000 of their stores. But the fact that they even had to do that, when you're in the checkout line and at the grocery store, and your kids that can read, kids read. They read newspaper and headlines and the magazine headlines and stuff. And when it's staring them there in the face, you learn you don't take your children to the grocery store anymore. But that's how far it's come. When they're teaching the kindergartners about that it's okay, Billy has two mommies and Mary has two daddies, and that puts in them that's that primacy. It teaches them that that's okay. That sin is okay, and anything goes, and that is where we are in this country. John, you mentioned earlier about let them repeal the Second Amendment. If that's the direction that they're going, and it really comes down to the people to choose who they're going to serve, and we read about that with Peter and the apostles back in Acts 5. It's Acts 5, starting in verse 27. It says, when they had brought them, they stood there before the council. The high priest questioned them. This is Peter and the apostles, saying, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. And that truly is that decision will be coming to each. It really already has, but it will continue to come to each and every family, to each and every person, and they get to make that choice if they're going to obey God or obey man. And we are to, as much as it is possible, as much as it is up to us, we're instructed to live at peace with all men. And I think more so than any other religion, than any other belief system, that I believe that Christians do that. At least the ones that I know do. They turn the other cheek. They do as much as they can to live at peace. But turn the other cheek. You only have two cheeks. And we're also told that, if we don't provide for our own, including safety, that includes, keeping our family safe, and that if we don't provide for our own and do that, then we're worse than an unbeliever, then we're worse than an infidel. And as good or better as the economy looks to be getting, and that, it really is coming down to, you obey God or you obey man.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen with all of this gun control stuff going on, there was a sheriff in North Carolina running for sheriff, Democratic candidate, that basically is boldly proclaiming that if laws are passed to confiscate weapons and people refuse to turn them in, then we'll just kill them.
Yeah, just gun them down.
And, yeah. But it's funny because I've talked to several state troopers and several local police officers, sheriffs, and ex-military and things like that. And the ones that are smart, they know, they say, if we were ordered to confiscate weapons, there's no way we would, because right. That would be a suicide mission. I mean, you might get the first one, but the next one, people are going to shoot first, ask questions later.
Right.
And I always like, my line is, well, they can have the bullets one at a time, first of three, but they ain't getting the guns, so that's just the way it is.
Saw a with that March for Life that they had here last weekend. Saw a video clip that I guess Gun Owners of America maybe that did that went out and interviewed people, and they're just asking people, hey, you know, so with this gun control, how far do you want to see this go? And they would ask them, oh, ban all guns. We need to be like Japan or in Canada and just ban all guns. You know, is what the people were saying. Or, you know, they would ask, well, what is an assault rifle? You want to ban assault rifles. What is an assault rifle? And the people were given this deer in the headlights look. They have no idea. No idea. Because they don't. They hear these terms, but they don't know what they mean. Guys, phone's ringing. Let's take a phone call this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Richard. Hey, guys.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
I got a question. About iodine. I read part of the article. I didn't finish it yet in the newsletter. And I dug out my old iodine bottle. It's not old. It's probably less than 5 years old. I was wondering if does that stuff deteriorate over time?
Jason would have to answer that.
It loses its strength. It'll lose about anywhere from a tenth to 1% a year, depending on the conditions that it's stored in.
Well, I have it in a little, about 2 ounces, 1 ounce dropper bottle with the rubber squeeze bulb on it. And
the squeeze bulb has gotten stiff. Temperature. As long as it stays in a cool, out of the light, it should be fine for a long time. You could just put a couple drops on your skin, and as long as it make sure that it absorbs good. If it absorbs into your skin good, as long as you're a person's in need of iodine, and it's just not really watery, it should be fine.
Well, that was my second point
in need
there,
of it, right, Jason?
Yep.
I took a cotton swab and dipped it in the iodine itself in the bottle, and I applied a patch of it on my abdomen, and it didn't even look like it was visible. It was very, very weakly colored, and I remember my mother putting iodine on.
Did you shake it up real good?
Stuff. Huh?
Did you shake it up real good?
Oh no, I didn't. I didn't shake it up.
Yeah,
I gave it a couple of a couple of shakes back and forth, but I didn't shake it very good.
Yeah, really good, because that sometimes some of that stuff will settle out in the bottom and it'll stick together. So make sure you shake it up real good.
Okay, now getting back to my point that I was going to talk about here, the squeeze bulb on that little dropper bottle had gotten really, really hard, and when I initially took the cap off the bottle, and the bottle had been stored in the medicine chest all that time. It never hit the sun. But the squeeze bottle seemed like it was full of like a crystalline stuff. I was wondering if I could just take that apart. I've got a number of squeeze bulb tops for these type of bottles, and maybe try to if it's full of crystallized iodine. I don't know if that happens, but just dump that back in the regular stuff and shake it up, and it will go back
into the... It makes it up real good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah, I'll try it. Anyway, yeah, I saw on your newswire
you that if you shake it up, you should be able to get that to re-solidify.
Okay, I'll try that. Liberty University, on your newswire there, I read it. They opened a range.
Yep.
When I was growing up back in New Jersey, there was a community high school in the town next to us, and they've always had a rifle range, and they actually had a shooting team. Even up until my young adulthood, I can remember people talking about that. And
when I was in school, they up in Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, they had a shooting team, they had a trap team, they had a rifle team, they had and the school actually owned guns and had a private range that they were allowed to shoot at.
Yeah,
we were all taught to shoot trap in and this was grade school.
Yeah. Oh, the funny thing of it, it's not funny, but it's kind of coincidental, maybe. That's the name of the high school that I'm talking about. It was James Caldwell High School, and James Caldwell was a very famous officer in the Revolutionary War, and that's the man that they named the college or the high school after. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
James
Caldwell, there is an historical church in New Jersey. It's called, in a small town, it used to be called Connecticut Farms, and it's in Union Township, not too far from where I grew up. But I drove by there one time, and it was very, very quaint stone church with a pastor, a parsonage and everything. And as I understand it, they had recently refurbished it. So, anyway, very interesting. Okay, I'll hang up and let you guys continue. Thanks for the information, Jason. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Joe.
Good call, Joe. All right. Have a good day.
All right, bye.
Well, kind of coming to an end of the program. A few minutes left. You know, the scripture I think that would probably fit today was what you had mentioned, Jason, about the wars and rumors of wars. But we have to remember when we read that, and you did read that, John, about that we're not to worry about it. We're not to fret. We're not to become a hermit, run off in the mountain and hide and hope these things blow over. But we are to occupy until he returns. We are to continue on, to live a Christian life, to let the light of Christ shine, to share the good news with people, to direct them to the scriptures, to comfort others as we have been comforted. We are to continue on and have victory, over these rumors of wars. So. Well, we do want to invite you to church, 8:30 Sunday morning. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org, and we'll have a whole wide variety of programs and things for you. So we encourage you to join us there. You can partake of communion, have fellowship with the saints, even if it's from across the country, you can do that. And then also, Monday evening, again, Monday, starting at in the afternoons with Passover. So Monday evening, we'll have a live service at 7 o'clock Mountain, 8 o'clock Central, and 9 o'clock Eastern. That'll be Monday night for Passover, Monday evening. And we will partake of communion. And we're looking forward to that. I want to make sure you have those dates. Talking about dates, Branson will be here before you know it. Branson coming up June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. We have the registration out in the Volume 2 Dragon Slayer newsletter. Also have it at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. We're starting to get registrations in, and we do encourage you, if you're wanting to go, go ahead and get that registration in as early as possible. We need to let the hotel know by the end of April, and that month starts tomorrow. So it will be here before you know it. We have already have some new people coming, some people that haven't come before, and talked with a couple of families that haven't been there in years and said they want to get back. They want to come back and see everybody again and enjoy the fellowship and the praise. So we're looking forward to another blessed family reunion in Branson. Again, that'll be June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. We're making all the reservations and taking care of all that here, so we encourage you to, if you want to go, pray about it. We've got the application out, and get that registration in into us as soon as possible. Well, about out of time. Guys, again, thanks for joining us. Remnant, we thank you for tuning in, and we continue down the path here, getting the truth of the gospel and the truth of his word out to his people. Men, have a blessed weekend, and we'll go out with a song.
Rolling, 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 shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hell send forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
See, these are the times. Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise.